And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are delighted that you are here this day as we have gathered on this beautiful day, this beautiful fall day, to worship our Lord in spirit and truth. And before we begin our worship today, we have a special guest to be with us. I believe Cubby is here. Cubby? Yes. And look, what is that he is holding? Look. That's the Trunk or Treat winner banner. So that's who's gonna win the best trunk this evening. We have 21 signed up for the Trunk or Treat. It's gonna begin at 6 o'clock with a meal, and then the Trunk or Treating will begin around 6:30. And Cubby certainly has a good costume on already, right? We do have flyers. It's not too late. If Abby has flyers, if you'd like to get one to give to a neighborhood child and invite someone to come be a part, we just look forward to having a good, safe place for our kids to come out and share this time together. So if you're interested in that, we certainly would appreciate your help in that regard. We are establishing a revival planning team. In fact, you probably saw me wandering the sanctuary this morning. I was looking for two more people. I see neither one of them that I was looking for. But if you've been asked already to be on that team, I need you to meet immediately following the morning worship right down in this area just for us to find a time we can meet. And if you'd like to be a part of the planning team, that might be the whole congregation just comes down here, and I'll be fine. If I'm standing at the door and nobody comes by, I know you all wanted to be on the team, and I'll be right down here when we set a time when we can get together this week. We are going to make a concerted effort to do revival the absolute best it can possibly be done. We're not going to do it halfway. We're going to go big. We're going to do it as good as it can be done. We need you to even now be praying that God's Spirit will honor the effort that is about to be invested in March 12 through 14 or 15 as we come together. We're considering very seriously bringing a whole team, a team for the youth, a team for our children, and then a team for the adults to be a part of this week. We want it to be over the top. But we need you to be committed. We need you to be committed. And how can you start? I'm glad you ask. The way you start is by prayer. Asking God to pour out His Spirit as never before at Flat Springs Baptist Church. And asking God to use you as the vessel through which He pours it out. And if we'll do that, I'm already excited about what God will do during that week as we come together as His people. Let me invite you to look at some other announcements that are in the bulletin. We are going to be collecting, you see, some large items that we're collecting, green beans, instant potatoes. We're going to be carrying those to Crossroads Community Baptist Church in Kentucky. And by the way, Grant, the pastor there, Grant Hastings, will be our guest speaker probably on January the 29th during our Baptist Men's Day. So we're looking forward to that partnership that we have with that church and that ministry continuing. David and Maureen, I know, will be going, carrying some of that. Some others may be going on that during that time as well. But we would like for you to help us with that because they provide a tremendously large Thanksgiving meal for, again, remember, that is, I think, the second poorest county in the nation. And so we have a chance to be a part of that ministry, and we look forward to that opportunity. So if you would be involved in that. You'll also note that Monday week, there's going to be the World Day of Prayer. We'll have the sanctuary open for prayer during that day. And from 6:30 to 7, there'll be a service here in the sanctuary. And then at 7 o'clock in our fellowship hall, we have decided to host with Liberty Hospice an opportunity to help us understand how grieving and the holidays sometimes come together in a difficult way, and some strategies for how some of us who have lost loved ones recently and may be kind of dreading the holidays can find some tools with which to go through them in a different way. And so If that is something you're interested in, it will be in the paper and it will be a big deal. We are looking forward to hosting that, and you are invited to be a part of that as well. I know there are many things going on. Beyond that, next Sunday is our homecoming day. We're looking forward to seeing Matt and his family coming, especially Penelope, whom we have not seen in person, or at least some of us have not seen her in person yet. But they are all planning to come and be with us next Sunday. We're looking forward to that. The other announcements are there, the opportunities of the week, many things going on. Thank you for your involvement already in all those different things. And I do want to mention that if you haven't signed up for a trunk but would like to, it's not too late. You certainly are well. I think we've got 21 signed up, but we could certainly use as many as you would like to come be a part of that. Any other announcements? I do want to say a word of thanks to the crew that showed up yesterday. That cut the bushes and raked them all up and hauled all that off. We had a good time doing that together, and we do appreciate the effort that was made and the work that was done. Anything else? Today, we're invited by Christ to come unto Him. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That sounds like most of us, doesn't it? And I will give you rest. I wonder if anybody here needs rest today. Spiritual rest, mental rest, emotional rest. God's here. As the instruments play, would you take a moment to say, "Yes, Lord, today I'd like to accept your invitation and come into your presence as we prepare for worship." Gift forgiveness is. In fact, true rest only takes place when we recognize we have received your forgiveness. And Lord, we come today asking you to speak to us clearly as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray.
Okay, if you'll stand and turn to hymn number 601.
Teach me, O Lord, I pray. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. Father, we ask that you might be with those that are sick, that are hurting, need your healing and soothing hands. Father, we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings here today that might further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Glad you're here today. Got a big old shiny red apple. Well, it's not that big, but it's pretty. If you had a shiny red apple and you weren't going to eat it, who would you give it to? Somebody that was what? Hungry? Homeless. Okay, good answer. Someone who was homeless. Who else do you think about when you think about an apple, giving it to someone? Austin? A teacher. That's right. That's right. Teachers just love to get apples. That makes them feel appreciated. We should appreciate our teachers, shouldn't we? Teachers are a very important part of your life because they teach you reading. You got to learn how to read and spelling and math and history. What's your favorite subject? But now you can't say recess. What's your favorite subject? You have one, Emily? Math. You got to have math. Anybody else? Reading. Okay. Teachers help you so much because during your life you have to have a lot of knowledge. Your parents also teach you a lot, don't they? Every day they teach you something. But you know, when you learn, you have to do your part too. You have to listen. You have to study. You have to cooperate. You have to put forth an effort, don't you? And you have to learn how to concentrate. All those things are important. Because as you grow into an adult, there are many, many things that you need to know. But you know, you need to be careful who you're listening to also and what you're learning. Because there are a lot of things that we don't need to learn, a lot of places that we don't need to go, and a lot of people that we probably shouldn't listen to. So be careful who you're learning from, okay? Today I want to focus on another teacher that you need to learn from. And that teacher is Christ. Christ came to the earth to teach us, to show us how to live. Of course, we go to the Bible to learn that, don't we? I have a verse that tells us that, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful in teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The first part of that says that all Scripture is God-breathed. That means, boys and girls, that it's from God. The Scripture is from God. It is inspired by God and written by man. But all the Scripture is directly from God. Okay? And then it says that the Bible, God's Word, is useful in teaching, correcting other people, correcting your children, training in righteousness. And righteousness means to do things right, the root word. So that the man of God, and that's us, isn't it, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means that we will learn how to do good work. But we have to study, don't we? We have to know God's Word. We can't just say, "Here's my Bible." We got to use it. We have to do our part in the Bible too. So where can we study our Bible? How can we learn about what God wants us to do? Well, we can come to Sunday school. We have teachers that spend a lot of time preparing the lesson for you. Wednesday night missions, do you learn about God in that? Yes. Awana, memorize Bible verses. Worship service like we're at today. Pastor Gary prepares for us every Sunday and teaches us about what God wants us to learn. So, when you go to school, that's important. Take an apple for your teacher. But also remember that we need to learn what God wants us to learn about His Word. Okay? All right, let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you so much for your Word. We thank you for making the Bible accessible to us so that we can learn your Word. Help these children to study and be in God's Word every day. In thy name we pray. Amen. See you next week.
Okay, hymn number 602.
Thank you. Psalm 116, 1 through 9. I love the Lord because he hears my voice, my pleas for mercy. I will call on him as long as I live because he turns his ear toward me.
The ropes of death became tangled around me. The horrors of the grave took a hold of me and I experienced pain and agony.
But I kept calling on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, rescue me. The Lord is merciful and righteous. Our God is compassionate.
The Lord protects defenseless people. When I was weak, he saved me. Be at peace again, my soul, because the Lord has been good to you.
You saved me from death. You saved my eyes from tears and my feet from stumbling.
I will walk in the Lord's presence in this world of the living.
This morning as we pray, I do want to add one name. We continue to pray for Jamie Bovaire and her brother-in-law, Rodney Vanderwalt, was in a car accident and has several broken vertebrae. We just want to keep that family lifted up in a very special way. And then this coming Wednesday, we have three in our church family that are going to be undergoing knee surgery, knee replacement surgery, Don Ray, Steve Cotton, and Anthony. We want to be remembering them in a very special way as they undergo that surgery. We would covet your prayers for my daughter, Becky. Becky will be moving to Carrboro tomorrow to be in the program called Care More. We would appreciate and covet your prayers for her. There are others that are on our heart and mind. I received word that the little daycare down here below us, the owner of that, her husband, is very sick. We need to be remembering him. Ken Jackson begins treatment tomorrow, and we want to be remembering Ken in a very special way. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we do want you to be glad with us. We do want to find peace. Sometimes we use a word, tranquility. We want to be able to bow our heads tonight and say, it is well with my soul. And you have a formula, you have a plan, that in spite of all the noise of this world, and all the clamor, and all the distractions, you have a plan to give us that peace. Heavenly Father, we lift the names of these that we have mentioned here on this list today, and others that are on our heart and mind that we know about and you know about, oh God, who have special needs. We lift them to your care. But Lord, we also recognize that if today we were honestly to not only discover the plan, but we were to embrace the plan. We were to implement the plan of peace in our heart and in our life. It would change the way we do our home. It would change the way we do our neighborhood. It would change the way we go to work tomorrow. It would change the way we face life and death. And so, God, we pray for your peace. We pray for your plan. We pray that we might continue to hear you invite us and that we might continue to say yes to that invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
That crescendo a while ago gave me chills. Thank you. Heavenly love, isn't that wonderful? If you have your Bibles, open with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Chapter 11 is an interesting chapter. Has a dialogue that begins between Jesus and John, or sending word back to him. And then in verses 20 through 25, there's some pretty strong judgment. But then we come, or through 24, but then in verse 25, our text for today, we find a powerful, powerful invitation. Now, you may remember from history that there have been different ages. There's been the Bronze Age, and there's been the Industrial Age, and now they say we live in the Information Age, you and I, the Information Age, where knowledge is king. I like when someone begins to really show their expertise at something, and someone will look at him and says, "You know some stuff." You know some stuff. And that impresses us when people know some stuff, doesn't it? Today, although I also have a tremendous respect for knowledge, I spend a great deal of time and energy pursuing knowledge formally through education. Jesus reminds us in a powerful way that in the midst of the information age, the knowledge age, what you and I really need to strengthen is our faith. We're going to read Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 25. We'll read through verse 30. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. And after that strong judgment he gave, reminding them of Sodom and Gomorrah, in verse 25 we find these words. "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children.' Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then the invitation. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God add his blessing and grant us understanding to the reading of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, remind us where we receive our education really matters. And the knowledge that we seek is vitally important. In Jesus' name. One of the great metaphors that creates an image for me is when someone said, isn't it a shame if you climb the ladder of success all the way to the top only to find out it's leaning against the wrong building? Today, you and I must determine what success looks like. We must determine what is important. We must determine where we shall rest, or if we shall rest. Some folks seem to think rest is optional these days. Maybe we always have. There's a story told of Socrates. It has many different variations, but his punchline is always the same in all the different renditions that I've read. So I'm going to use one that I heard long ago. It seems that he was sitting by a pool that had a fountain in the middle of it. A pool that the water came right up to the very edge of the top of the wall, the retaining wall that held the pool in place. And a young man came to him and said, Teacher, we know you are one of the best, and I come to you seeking knowledge. Socrates asked the young man to look into the pool of water. And the young man thought, well, I guess he wants me to see my reflection. And so he looked, and Socrates said, no, look closer. Closer. And he kept getting closer and closer to the water until finally his nose was touching the pool of water. To which Socrates, behind him, put his hand strongly on the back of his neck and pushed his face down into the water and held him there. And the man began to frail, as you might imagine, and struggle and try rapidly to get himself out of this predicament. And just before he lost consciousness, Socrates pulled him from the water. And then the famous line attributed to the philosopher. He said, young man, when you want knowledge as badly as you just wanted a breath of air, you'll have it. You'll have it. What do we want today? What do we really need today? What do we need to learn today? I like the first truth that I think Jesus gives us in this moment, and you might want to go back and read the earlier part of chapter 11. You'll understand who he's talking about, that God has hidden some of those truths from those who did not heed by faith the signs But he says that you have revealed them to little children. As a small child comes to a parent without comparing them to other parents, without listening to every other opinion on parenting, without thinking of how much more they know than their parents, I think that might be the point Jesus is making. That child that comes not as that angry child, not as that hard-headed child. We don't have any of those in our group, amen? But as that faithful child, that loving child, that child that comes and lays their head on our chest, that child that comes and follows directions, that child that comes and listens and learns. Faith, not knowledge or wisdom, is how we learn from God. That may be the most important thing I say this morning. Let me say it again. Faith, not knowledge or wisdom, is how we learn from God. It is faith that connects us to God, nothing else. I don't have an advantage because I have an earned doctorate degree above you. In fact, if I have less faith than you, I'm at a disadvantage. I can't learn enough. I can't serve enough. I can't cut enough bushes. I can't go down to Lumberton and carry enough water. I can't go overseas and do enough mission trips to earn anything other than what my faith tells me to do. It is interesting to me, those people that I consider to be deep faith people, they always have a smile, and you can I almost believe you can see a faith smile. It's different. It's just a different look on their face. You probably even now are beginning to have a person come to your mind, aren't you? That person that maybe they were very quiet, or maybe not. You knew they had childlike faith. You see, the first thing we must learn, if we're going to learn from God, is to learn how He reveals Himself to us. And we, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we come to prayer. I've heard people do this. In fact, I've been guilty of it myself. You ever try to tell God something in your prayer? Well, God, you know that I'm dealing with this. And God, I love that statement that says, pray often, and when necessary, use words. Pray. Seek God. Seek God deeply. Seek God through faith, not through what you know. And isn't that hard to do? How many of you checked what all you know when you came into the door? Not a one of us, did we? We brought all of our knowledge. You know, during the election, they've been emphasizing fact-checking. Have you noticed that? And we do that here today. Maybe if suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to say something to our heart, we begin to fact check it with the world. We begin to say, yes, Lord, I know what you're saying, but look over here. Look at these facts. Look at this understanding. Look at this knowledge. Brothers and sisters of mine, the church is struggling. All the statistics show that we're struggling. We're struggling. We're struggling across denominational lines. We're struggling everywhere there is the church. It is difficult days for the church. Could it be that we've gotten too smart? We've come with our knowledge and our understanding rather than childlike faith. And God says, I'll tell you when you be still. I'll tell you when you hush. I'll tell you when you listen. Knowledge, it does impress us, doesn't it? And yet I found even knowledge cannot be dependable. How many of you know that eggs are bad for you? You know that? They have cholesterol. I love what Jerry Clower said about cholesterol, Jerry. He said he was glad they didn't have cholesterol when he was a boy. Because if they'd have had it, he'd have fried it and eat it if they'd have had it. And I think he's right. He probably would have. But on February the 17th, and I probably won't say his name right, Dr. Luc Desjosiers, the associate professor of heart disease at Harvard Medical Center. That boy knows some stuff. You know what I'm saying? He knows some stuff. He said dietary cholesterol does not translate into high levels of blood cholesterol. He concluded in the research done on eggs that current scientific data does not justify worries about egg consumption. Amen. I'm hoping chocolate is right around the corner. Including egg yolk, he goes on to say, when it comes to your heart health. Have you noticed that knowledge changes? Have you noticed what was a fact a few years ago? Is not, you know, I heard that carpet was terrible if you have asthma. Now they say it filters the dirt and it's pretty good. Isn't that crazy? Knowledge just changes. Have you seen it? It does. Even what we think is that piece of knowledge that is always there, it's not always there. And I can promise you that when it comes to your spiritual journey, your knowledge can derail you when you don't allow faith to drive the train. Faith is what is important. You know, I've noticed that we've stopped being faithful even to each other. If someone does something in church and you don't like it, you just find another church. Faithfulness doesn't seem to matter. If your spouse doesn't do what you want them to, just find another spouse. Faithfulness doesn't matter. When we stop having childlike faith in each other, we start keeping score. We start figuring different angles. I was thinking, what does that look like? And here's what I remember. And it goes way back. When I was a young boy, my first memory was when we lived in Wilmington. My daddy was a pastor of Seagate Baptist Church, where Anel Wilkie, by the way, is attending church. Well, she's not Anel Wilkie now. Anel Allman is attending church now. And we lived in that little community of Seagate. And I remember, especially during the summer, every morning, I would awaken, and the thing that was most exciting to me was when Mike Padgett was home. Mike was my best bud. And you know, we didn't have an agenda. We didn't stop at the end of playtime that night before and say, now tomorrow at 8 o'clock we'll get on this schedule, and at 8:30 we didn't do any of that. But when I got up and he got up and I had done whatever Mom had required of me to do, I would make my way through a little pine grove to Mike's house. And I remember how disappointing it would be if I got there and knocked on the door. There came a time I didn't knock on the door, by the way. There came a time I just went on in. But, and no one was home. That was sad. 6 years old. And I thought, the world's not much worth living right now. Mike's not home. How's the day going to go? Mike's not here. Who do you have that kind of relationship with? You often hear things like, I've lost my faith in mankind. Or, I don't trust anybody anymore. I find that happens most often when we replace faith with our knowledge of what we know. Here's what I know through faith. We can trust God. Our world sometimes has a skewed understanding. Now, suppose that you told me today that you wanted to go to New York City. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would leave Deep River and want to go to New York City. But forget that. Let's just say you decided you wanted to go. And you say, Gary, have you been? I said, yeah, I've been to New York City. I have. By the way, I went to a Broadway play. It's a wild place, New York City. I'll take Deep River. He said, well, you know how to go? Yeah, I know how to go. Sure. I've been there. Done that. Well, how do you go? Here's what you do. You take Highway 1, go north, till you hit Interstate 40. When you hit Interstate 40, you're going to say Interstate 40 West. Jump on that highway, and you ride till you see New York City. Some of you have been out of Deep River before, haven't you? Well, you call me up when you get to Asheville. He said, Gary. I said, yeah. I'm trying to get to New York City. Are you on 40? Yeah, I'm on 40. How's the road? What? How's the highway? It's a nice highway. See any eating places? Man, they're eating places every other exit. What are you talking about? How about some motels? Any nice motels? Just keep riding that road. You'll get there. Go. Drive a little faster. It'll happen. You call me again when you get to Memphis. Say, Gary, we're trying to get to New York City. You call me again when you hit the Mojave Desert. And then you call me totally panicked when you get to Barstow, California, mile marker 2555, because that's where 40 ends. You see what the world's telling us? This is a good road. Don't worry about where it's taking you. It's a good road. There's good eating on the way. There are places to rest. You'll get where you ultimately want to be. Just drive a little faster. See how that works out for you, isn't that, brothers and sisters? There are folks on their way to hell as hard as they can because the roads are nice, because others are going that way, because the travel is easy. Today, we're called not by our knowledge, not even by what's easy, but to follow God by faith. Learning where to go is most important. Wouldn't you agree? Regardless of how well or not well the road might be. Well, what does coming to Christ? You see, that's what he says in that next one. Coming to me, Jesus invites us. You got to learn where to go. If you want to go to New York City, take 95, just so in case anybody leaves here and thinks preacher really doesn't know. Take 95. That'll work out for you better. But how do you come to Jesus? Isn't that what he said? Come unto me, all you who labor. He says, only the folks that I'll reveal the Son to have any chance at heaven. And then he says, come unto me, all who labor. And how do you come to Jesus in 2016? What does that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. Same as always. By faith. It comes by faith. It doesn't come by knowledge. It doesn't come by what you know. It doesn't come by what everybody's doing. It doesn't come by what they're saying on the television. It doesn't come by what we want. It comes by faith. By faith, this invitation is being extended to us. And like all invitations, you can either reject it or accept it. But you can't alter the invitation. You know, you can't say, I want to come, Christ, but just not when you say and the way you say. Imagine being invited to a great supper this coming Saturday and deciding that will be inconvenient, so you're going to go on Tuesday. I got a feeling it won't work out for you. Jesus gives us an invitation. He says, come to me. What does that mean? That means every day, come to Christ. That means when you rise up in the morning, come to Christ. That means when you're walking through stressful times, when you feel stress. Anybody ever feel stress? Anybody ever? Anybody? I didn't think so. But if you ever do feel a little bit of stress, let that be a trigger to pray. Let that be a moment to pause and say, I need to come to Jesus. The stress is rising up. I'm about to say a word that maybe I shouldn't say. Come to Jesus. I'm about to think a thought I shouldn't think. Come to Jesus. You see, Jesus says, I'm here. You know I'm here. Many of you, most of you here in this room, have studied me since you were a child. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And as we close this morning, how do you rest in Christ when you come to him? You come to him in prayer. You come to him in Bible study. You come to him in worship. You come to him in praise. You come to him hour by hour, moment by moment. Oh, what a friend in the lowly Jesus. I appreciate the instrumentalist in our offering today. Coming to Jesus is where you learn to rest. God's given us rest. Have you ever sat down to try to rest, but your mind was running so hard, so fast? You were tireder when you got up than when you sat down. You know, rest, that doesn't just mean sitting, does it? Rest. Sometimes we wear ourselves out looking for rest. How about the days before and the days right after you take a vacation? Aren't they fun? Rest. Rest. How do we rest? I'm glad you asked. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Christ wants to share your load. The world tells us to figure out how to get through this world and how to carry that heavy load. Using knowledge as your tool. And Christ says, come and let me show you how faith can be your tool. Christ says, come to me by faith and I'll show you a whole different way of living life, of doing family, of going to work, of going to school. That's the invitation that he offers. What will we do? Faithfully yoking our lives to Christ, that's where rest is. Do you remember that story I told us at the beginning about Socrates, the philosopher? You know, I've been standing here coming on 12 years this January. I've been telling you everything my poor old brain can come up with. Y'all are a tolerant people, and I'm so glad you are. But you know, I sometimes lay awake at night saying, what could I say Sunday that might flip a switch? It might change a heart. It might change a mind. Heavenly Father, how could your Holy Spirit take my feeble words and the focus on one of your texts and change a life and change a family and change a future and change a destiny? And change those small children that are being raised up in that home. How could that happen? Socrates said, how bad you want it. How bad you want it. I remember a story. Stephen Covey told it in an old book now, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. But if he's not careful, he described me pretty well. He tells the story of a man he's sawing a tree down. He is sawing hard. He is sawing hard. He is working. Sweat is pouring in. He is not making very much progress. Fella comes to him and he says, what are you doing? Don't you love those kind of questions? He says, what do you think I'm doing? I'm sawing down this tree. He says, I've been watching you for hours. And he says, why don't you sharpen your saw? The man stops for a moment. He says, I can't. I'm too busy sawing down this tree. How many of you feel like that today? Moms, dads, how many of you feel like that today? Gosh, you're working hard. You're sawing for all you're worth. You're taking all the knowledge that Dr. Phil has, and in the last book you read, and the last magazine article, and the last Facebook post, you're taking it all, and you're doing what you can. And that stubborn tree, you haven't even broken through the bark, and you've been sawing and sawing and sawing and sawing. Jesus says, come to me. sharpen your saw. You'll be amazed. You'll just be amazed. When I apply the faith wet rock to that saw blade, to your life, you'll be surprised how things that were so on your last nerve suddenly become an opportunity. You'll be surprised how all that anger is now replaced with a Holy Spirit kind of love. Today, learning to rest. Learning to rest. You got to learn where to go if you're going to rest. Nothing better than when the tree falls, is it? Nothing better. Today, Jesus says, let me help you. You want to respond to that? Oh, you'd make this preacher happy. But better than that, you'd make the Holy Spirit of Almighty God happy. Because He so wants to walk with us along life's narrow way. Today, there's an invitation, and I don't offer it. I'll just tell you about it. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment now, we make those decisions about our walk with you. There may be someone here today, Lord, who's been trying by knowledge to live their life. And they've been doing a pretty good job, but Lord, the stress is just, and it's affecting everything. Relationships, it's reflecting in how we do everything we do in life. And Lord, we want every home to be a home of faith. We want every person to be a person of faith. We want our church to be a church of faith. We want this community to know that faith changes everything when we put our faith in you. So now, Lord, we must determine, are we willing to come unto you? As surely as that young man was desperate for a gulp of air when Socrates held his face in the water, give us that kind of hunger to come to you. And oh my God, what you will do. Every heart needs to pause in your presence right now. And decisions are being made for you, oh God. You hear everyone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision today is page 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 333. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for Him publicly, or private, would we come to Him as He invites us as we stand together?
Thank you.
favorite thing I love to say is, would you be seated for just a moment? For the last several years, Pam and Sarah have been attending our church, and today, with some conversation she and I have had, she feels that the Lord is calling her to make that official, and so she comes today asking to become a part of Platte Springs Baptist Church on receipt of a letter from a sister church in our area that she would like to be a part of our church family. Do I hear a motion that we receive her into our fellowship? Y'all are getting so good at this. All of you who would join me in welcoming her officially, would you indicate that by saying, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Pam, we're going to try to be the church that you need us to be, and we're going to need you to help us to be that church. We are so delighted that you're here with us. I'm going to ask you, if you would, at the end, to stand back there with me. You'll want to come by and express your appreciation to her and promise your prayer, as now a fellow sister has joined our congregation. What a great blessing indeed. While you're seated, I will remind you, first, the committee, I'm not going to call them a committee, the revival planning team. If you would meet for just a moment, I would appreciate that. See if we can find out the time to get started. I hope you're praying. I'm excited about what God's going to do in March. I need you to start asking the Holy Spirit to do something you've never done before in your heart. And I'm going to be asking him to do that in my heart, that God may be glorified in what we do in the days ahead. And I think the preparation might be as good as what happens in March. So I'm excited about all the same place. And then this evening, we're going to have a wonderful opportunity to share with our children here with the Trunk or Treat. So please be aware of that. Would you stand with me? And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in God's power and in God's abiding presence. We might be his people of faith, in the midst of all this. Would you pray for me? God, go with us from here. By faith, you brought us here. If we leave with a stronger faith, we'll have a stronger witness in this community. We'll be able to do more of what you created us to do. We will love you more. We will serve you more. And you will make a difference in our faith. And we're excited about that promise and about that truth. So now, Lord, as we have come unto you, we invite you to go with us. In Christ's name.